I think if you slurp or cough during the meditation, it's like somebody's asleep and they're being sustained by the sleep, and you like bang on their shoulder. You know? Try really hard not to. Again, if it starts to come to your nose, just open your mouth and breathe through your mouth and let it drip. It doesn't hurt anything. Okay? One good slurp, it's like shaking somebody away. Somebody's deep asleep and they were really tired, and then you like, so try really hard. Watch your breath, please. And go to the golden moon. You watch the sky outside. and look down and see the mountains separated from you by the valley, covered with light. Come back into the golden room. And ask your teacher to please come sit with you. And they put their hands on your hands. Focus very specifically on the touch of their hand. So you don't even see them really. You have some awareness that they're there, but the object of the meditation is the touch of their hand on your hand. And be contented with that touch. Don't think you need to go anywhere else. You're just alone, silent, in a room with your teacher. They're just touching your hand, and that's all. No place else to go, nothing else to do. If you lose the object, you think of something else, and the mind gets sleepy, you try to cut through with mara. Try to raise the luminous golden quality. Try to enjoy the touch more. Be satisfied, content, be willing to stay there. Feel a sense of relief that you're not bombarded with cell phone, laptop. You're just there, quiet, in a room, and feed off that relief. Feel the sense of sustaining that it gives you. Now try to observe your shishin. Try to watch your watchfulness. Isolate that state of mind and watch how it steps in when the mind wanders or gets dull. Observe your own capacity for observation. And watch the part of your mind that pulls your mind back, Kemba. The capacity of the mind to pull the mind back to the object of meditation. Again, try to connect with your heart with a feeling of relief almost, or contentment that you can be still and stay still and quiet. It's enough. And slowly come back to this room. Slowly open your eyes.
So we were at, we were talking about a description of level 9. And it said, it's not in your chart, okay? It says, Dersen Se Chikpa Shine Jetumba. Okay? Dersen Se Chikpa Shine Jetumba. So we talked about Dersen. Dersen means that state of mind was still in the desire realm. Okay? Meaning what? If you had sustain that state of mind for a long time in this life, you would be reborn into a desire realm. And then it was Se Chikpa. It was on a single object, Ekagra, and it was good. It was autopilot, no agitation, no dullness, and lots of nar. Okay? By the way, I mean, when you get home, try to remember what your Sheshin feels like. What does it feel like to watch your mind? Sometimes look for your watchfulness during meditation. Look for your watchfulness and see how it's doing. And then sometimes watch your mind, bring your mind back. Look at your recollection, your capacity to bring the mind back. And then sometimes, I think most important, maybe the most important thing of all, check in on your ngar. You know, see if you can. Sorry. That speaker's not working. Is it? No? That speaker died. I don't know. Huh? Better? Better? It's bad. Check in on your ngar. I really can't overemphasize the power of a feeling of contentment with the situation. You know, like that's enough for me. I would like to just be here with you, okay? You had Nar in the car with your high school boyfriend from 12 to 4:30, okay? And then your mom came out and knocked on the window, you know? And no, it just, time passed and I remember that one time, the lady was her father. But anyway, you know, banging on the window. And it's that kind of feeling, like I don't have any place else to go. You know? So try really hard to bring up that sense of contentment. A sign of it would be, a sign that you have it is that in your normal life, you're able to sit in a chair quietly, focused, and not get on your computer, and not use your cell phone, and not check your email, you know? If otherwise, you really do have a problem. I think all these modern devices, and every generation has had it, modern devices, ever since papyruses and stuff, they distract you, you know? And they keep your mind busy. So be very careful. Dunze Sopoa, right? One of the conditions for meditation. Don't get overly busy or overly stimulated. Television's really bad. Newspapers are really bad. I think email is a step up on the distraction. You know, it just, I'm not sure you can meditate well and do email in the same day. I don't know. But I know everybody would die if you didn't do email. So what you might do is set a time a day that you do your email. You know, like, and just do it once a day. You don't need to be up to date, up to the moment, you know. Probably, whatever people emailed you about, you can know about tomorrow. You know, it's not going to matter that much. And we get more and more addicted the more you use it, you know. I have to have it on almost constantly now. And I'm checking every few minutes to see if someone's written me a new email about the talk in Singapore in June. You know what I mean? And it's okay. Tomorrow would be okay to read about it, you know? So maybe pick a time of day that nowadays I try to do my emails in the afternoon. I pick a time when my mind is pretty much useless for anything good. And then I do my emails during that period. It doesn't require my fresh morning state of mind. And it will disturb my sleep. Most of the emails I get would disturb my sleep. So, you know, afternoon is a good, your low time is a good time to do your emails. But try to just observe your life. Do you ever just go for a walk, or do you ever just sit in a room quietly by yourself and without
without doing nothing, but without doing anything, you see? Can you just relax and be with yourself for 10 minutes or 15 minutes? And if you cannot, I don't think you can meditate. Okay. All right. So I'm going to the actual text now. I haven't done this yet, as far as the meditation side of things. I've been working against the poster. But at this point, the poster gets a little sparse. Okay, like they're just naming the states of 9+ states, and they don't explain them. So what I'd like to do is to go to the original text by Pabongkor Rinpoche. And this happens to be what he's talking about just before he gets to the emptiness part that you started with this week, okay? Right? So he's bridging between level 9+ and all the emptiness stuff we've been talking about. That's where he is in the text, okay? Deni desam se chikpe, shine je tumba. So you have to get used to the word shamatha, okay? You have to get used to the idea of shamatha. And vipassana. So now we're on a whole very important subject, okay? There's a very high state of meditation called shamatha. Sham means peace, right? Sham means peace. Calm comes from that word. And ultimately quiet comes from that word, because they both come from krisham, which came into Latin and other Romantic languages as quam, as in calm. Okay? Kshan changes to quam. So calm or quiet come from all, they all come from sham. So sham means quiet. Sham, tha means a state of that, like shunyata or shamatha. Different spellings, but they mean the same thing. Shamatha is a state of peace. Okay? And the Tibetans translated it that way. They called it shine. She means peace, and ne means a state of. So they translated shamatha very nicely. Shama and ta. Shine. Shine means after he died, okay? So we're not going to say shine, okay? It's a shine. Shine. Shine means shamatha, okay? That's sort of 9+, okay? 9 itself is called Shine Jetumba. Jetumba means approximation. Approximation. It's an approximation of shamatha. Okay? That's a mayingak, right? Mm-hmm. Approximation means not quite the real thing. Okay? So Shine Jetumba is sort of an insult. Okay? Level 9 is called Shine Jetumba. Level 9 is called almost shamatha. Okay? A good approximation of shamatha. It means it ain't. Okay? It's not shamatha yet. It's not shamatha. Now I'm gonna pick up the text from there. Okay? I'm gonna pick up the text from there. And we'll go with the text for a while. Because the poster, I don't know. I think when they got towards the end of the poster, they were in a rush or something. I don't know. Okay, so here we go. Gupa di yonsu dibe toki du. Level 9 is accomplished through the power, right? How many powers? 6. Through the power of complete familiarity. Familiarity. Okay? Yonsu dibe toki. Complete familiarity. Okay? De da ki dangbe kap namtok musim benyam. Now he's going to summarize the 9 stages, okay? And he's not going to tell you, he's going to summarize the 9 levels without telling, he's going to give 3 steps to a metaphor. He does not
exactly correlate them to the nine levels. He doesn't say, you know, the first step feels like the first three or something. He just says, over the course of the nine levels, you will feel, it'll feel like three different feelings going on. Okay? Number one, dedaki dambukab namto musimbe nyamdang. During the first third of the chart, during the first third of the poster, you feel like you're just getting to know the problems in your own mind. Okay? What's dullness? What's agitation? What's a loss of ngar? What's subtle dullness? What's subtle agitation? So the feeling during the first third of the poster is that you feel like you're just getting to know your own head. You're just getting to know your own mind. Number two, nipe kap namto re nyal soe nyam. During the second part of your career, up the path of this poster, you will feel like those meditation problems are giving you a break sometimes. Like they're letting you take a little bit of rest sometimes. Like they stop harassing you temporarily. On and off, they stop harassing you. Okay, like you feel like relief. You know, like, oh, you know, dullness, agitation, thinking about lunch. Subtle dullness, getting spacey. Subtle agitation, almost thinking about lunch. All these things are, they're like cutting me some slack sometimes. That's the second feeling. Third feeling. Sumbekap namdo tanchepe nyamchung. Then in the third, in the final stages of this path, this poster, you feel like they're getting fatigued. Okay? Your agitation is tuckering out. Your agitation is getting tired of agitating you, okay? And it feels nice. You know, like they're losing their strength to bug you. You've been working on them and they feel exhausted instead of you feel exhausted, right? Okay. Dona semne dambo danyipa ni nepa gin ringtin yila. So he's going to give the answer to the homework question I posed to you, which was, What is it that separates each successive step from the previous stage? Okay? What is it that separates level two from level one? Why did they make a level there? Why did they feel it was necessary to say there's another level there? There must be some difference between the new state and the previous state. Okay? So here's, you can check this with what you thought. Okay? Here we go. Dona semne dambo danyipa nini nepa gyuring tunga. What separates the second level from the first is how long you can continue to stay on the object. Okay? The relative duration on the object is what separates level two from level one. So we're going to keep separating, right? Now we want to know what separates level three from level two. Nipa dasuba ni yawa gyuring tung ye. What separates the third level from the second level is the duration of the distraction, meaning it's getting shorter. Okay, three is distinguished from two by the shortening of the distraction. Okay? Less distraction at three than at two. Sumbadashi niki mikten shormi siki kiepar yoching. The difference between three and four, by the way, this is why they came out with nine states, okay? This is why there's nine levels, because there are nine differences, okay? Number four is distinguished from number three in that it is no longer possible to lose the object, okay? Completely. Level four is distinguished from level, level five is distinguished from level four in that it's no in that you no longer get obvious dullness, gross dullness. Nabadan drupa ni ni chiwa tramolo doksun gumi gut. Number six is distinguished from number five in that you no longer need to worry much, okay, about whether you're going to get subtle dullness. Okay? That's a mayinga. Dema se drupa gupa tramo kiawa ang namale nyungo. Number six is also distinguished from number five in that although it's still possible to get subtle agitation, it will be much shorter in duration than at five. Why are we going through all this? I mean, I had people came up to me and made me aware that this whole class is pretty technical. In about 6 months, you're going to want to know, did I make it to six or am I still at five? You know, and this is very helpful. Like in grade school and high school, you know what class you're in. You know, like if you're a freshman, you can't ask a sophomore girl out. It's not going to work. Okay? It doesn't matter how cool you are. It's not going to work out. You know, you don't even try, right? It's not possible. But there's this comfort to know you where you are. If from the age of 6 to the age of 18, they said, you're in school, but we don't know what class. You know, like, we don't know if you're 8th grader or, you gotta know if you're a freshman or a sophomore. Because then you know who you can ask out, right? So, it's somehow nice to know what level, it's very comforting to know what level you're on. Because inner things are very difficult to quantify. You know, we went to British Air. We had a meeting with the top 12 people who were interested in having a DCI training. And one guy just, you know, he was like, wait, you know, I like this whole idea. This diamond color thing is very good. But metrics, metrics, metrics. You know, I'm like whispering to Ningbo and Mercedes, no, what's metrics mean? You know, and he's like, how are we going to measure the effect of your programs on our people? 40,000 people, how are you going to measure the effects of this worldview on people? You know, so it's very difficult to quantify your inner life. But if someone comes along and gives you some guidelines, it's so comforting. Okay, it's really, really feels good. Even if you're at level 2 or level 3, at least you know how far you have to go. It's very frustrating if you've been meditating for 3 years. Like in karate, they give you different colored belts, right? And it means a lot, you know, like, okay, I got my green belt. You know, I got my blue belt. I never got past yellow. That's another story. But at least you know where you are. And you feel some kind of comfort to know where you are. So it's better to know that your meditation is at level 2 than to not know where you are. Okay? So that's why we're doing this exercise, especially this question of what distinguishes each preceding one from the... Sorry, preceding one from the preceding one? Okay. So I think we're between 6 and 7 now. Drupa danduma nini chinga tam mor shor nyenki doksun chembo gumi go. I think we just had that. Oh, okay. Whether or not there's any great concern that you might completely fall into subtle dullness or agitation. So the main thing is he's added agitation. Okay? Because already we didn't have much danger of subtle dullness, right? But he threw it into the difference between 6 and 7 also. But he also added that verb about losing yourself, shorwa, Okay, no longer any great need to be cautious about whether you will lose yourself in subtle dullness or agitation. Mm-hmm. By the way, there's traditionally a little trouble distinguishing 6 and 7, as you can feel, right? Mm. And there's more information coming. Dumba dangepa ni chingu yumedan. Number 8 is distinguished from number 7 in the question of, is it even any longer possible that you could have any form of dullness or agitation? There is no longer any dullness or agitation in 8, and that's what distinguishes it from 7. So you would wonder then what's going to distinguish 9 from 8. If you already had no possibility of dullness or agitation, then what distinguishes 9 from 8? Gepa dan gupa ni betu la tumi tugi kepa yudo. Number 9 is distinguished from number 8 in that you no longer have to make any conscious effort to stay there. Okay. It's effortless. It's completely effortless. You still have no dullness and you still have no agitation, but now it's effortless. Now he clarifies the difference between 7 and 6, because he also felt uncomfortable, I think, with it. He goes back to the difference between why is 7 better than 6? Okay. He says, Dumbe kap, at the 7th level, chingu gok tsam le, der shor tokin nyen cher che migu. At the 7th level, all you have to do is just kind of touch on your dullness and agitation and they're gone. You don't have to worry that you will be lost in them or that you will swim in them okay? So it's a difference, like you might get agitation or dullness, but you won't like wallow in it. Shor means wallow, okay? You're not gonna wallow in them. There'll be something will come up and you'll just block it right away, okay? But there's no danger that you're going to be hopelessly wallowing in it, okay? And then he gives the example that we talked about before. Penna, dradan tabna, if you're boxing with somebody, okay? If you're boxing with somebody, de tob shen du tang sinne, doksin chen mi gupar. If you're boxing with somebody and it's in the late rounds, and they have lost most of their strength. Their strength has dwindled. Okay, sine doksun chermi gupa. You don't have to be like totally on your guard all the time. Okay, like the guy's ability to punch, he might get a punch in, but it's gonna be weak. It's not gonna have any punch behind it. So you don't have to be like protecting your head as actively as you did before. So at level 7. You don't have to protect your head against dullness and agitation as actively as you did earlier. Okay. You can block him easily. Okay. Like he throws a punch and you just kind of swat at it, and it's enough because there's no power behind it. So after that discussion, till 6? Okay. After that discussion, Pabok Rinpoche took a break for the day. Right? The whole topic that we've covered so far about meditation, he did in a single day. Okay. Like, no, those sessions were 12, 18 hours. And people in Tibet were used to that. And they would walk around and hand out Tibetan tea, which is sort of like jolt. okay. Like a very strong coke. Okay. All right. Programmers use like jolt, right? Okay. I had it once. That's a main guy. Okay. Nyen nyer nipar, jk du. Pounden dawa tarpe sunme. Kunsob deni shoyang karpo ge ge pe. Nambe gyalpo deni ke wo ngamba yi. Dundu dane ge we dungi shuto ki. Yawe yinde nyatsu taru chotu do. Very famous, okay? Kunsob deni shoyang karpo ge ge pe. The king of the geese, okay, Hansa, which came into guns, which became Lufthansa, and means goose. The end dropped off in English. Okay, so the Hansa flies at the, what do you call it? At the head of the other geese. The head goose flies at the leads. If you've ever seen a flock of geese, that's very beautiful, you know. I don't know who picks the head one, or you know, but it seems like a heavy responsibility. You know, like he's got to get to Antarctica, you know, and so the head goose needs two wings, okay, two powerful wings. What are they? Kunzob deni, kunzob demba, dundan demba. Okay, they are deceptive reality and ultimate reality. The reality we live in, which is called, it's called deceptive because it fools you. Why? Ding. Okay. Ding. That's deceptive reality. It looks as though it's coming from the pen. It looks as though the pen is in the pen. It looks as though the power to cure your headache is in the aspirin. And therefore, all those things which work that way, or seem to work that way, but obviously don't work if you question it for 10 seconds. Okay? Cars break down, planes fall down, aspirins don't work. They got you fooled, man. They really got you. You know, you go to Walgreens, and you pay full price for the bottle of aspirin. You come home and half of them don't work. And nobody ever goes back to ask for their money back or half their money back. It's amazing. They got you. You're used to it. I think you'd even feel uncomfortable if all the aspirin worked. Or if your car never broke down. Or if your boyfriend was just totally sweet and devoted and pure permanently. You know, I don't know if you feel comfortable with it. But anyway. So that reality is called deceptive reality. So the world of deceptive reality. Kunzob. And then the other, so a knowledge of deceptive reality is one wing, okay? And then a knowledge of ultimate reality is another wing. It's one thing to convince people that aspirin don't work. It's another thing to tell them how to get them to work, okay? And my lama, my dear, sweet, matchless way, lama always tells me, you know, you can disprove that aspirin work, but you darn well better not leave people there. No, don't leave them doubting their whole world. You know, like, teach that in the first half of the lecture, and then don't have a break. And then teach them how to make the aspirin work. You can't just leave somebody with your aspirin didn't work, and you never noticed it. And good luck. You know, like that. You can't do that, okay? You have to go on to how to get the aspirin to work all the time. So anyway, you need to point out that things are not what they seem to. They don't work like people think. And then you have to give them the other side, which is ultimate, you know, the explanation of ultimate reality. And that the goose can only lead the other geese. You can only teach other people if you have both wings. Okay? If you can explain why the thing doesn't work, really, and then how to get it to work, really. Okay? Which is helping other people with their headaches. Okay? All right. The head goose flies then at the head of the other beings. And the wind, the power of the wind of virtue, propelled by the powerful wing, what do you call it? Propulsive propulsion? Okay. The propulsion power
of their virtue. Okay, jet fuel. Gawa yuni gyatso paro chotu do. They reach the... This is a hard thing in English, how to say it. Crossing a dangerous ocean to another place of sanctuary is considered a metaphor for completion in Tibetan scripture. And what comes in my mind when I hear it is, could you make a nonstop flight from LA to Tokyo? You see? And then often the ocean is compared to the some qualities of an enlightened being. So crossing the ocean, flying nonstop LA to Tokyo in 1940 or 19, you know, when it was barely possible, is often used as a metaphor in scripture for acquiring all the qualities of an enlightened being. You know, the ocean is the qualities of an enlightened being. To cross it and hit Tokyo nonstop is a metaphor for gaining all those qualities. So the head goose can lead the other geese from LA to Tokyo and cross over, meaning acquire all the qualities of an enlightened being. If they can grasp how the pen is, why the pen appears to come from its own side, or how the pen really does come through the seeds, right? And then the emptiness of what it seemed to be before. Okay? With those two great ideas. Oh, things are a white screen, and what I see is coming from my seeds. With those two ideas, you can fly to enlightenment. And you can lead others there. Okay? That's cool. That was Chandrakirti. Master Chandrakirti. She Sumbatar Kunzobdan Dundabe Chandruki Semni. Then he clarifies the two wings can be called Kunzob Bodhicitta and Dundam Bodhicitta. Okay, so Bodhicitta means, as you know, Semke Pani Shenden Chir Yandazobe Chandru. From the Abhisamma Alankara, Masanga, Maitreya. Semke Pani Shenden Chir Yandazobe Chandru. The wish for enlightenment is to strive or to want to get enlightened for the sake of everybody, for everyone, to save the world. You want to get enlightened to save the world. So they say this ultimate love has two focuses. One, save the world. Two, become an enlightened being so you can do it. Okay. So ultimate love has two focuses. That love is called the deceptive wish for enlightenment. Okay? Because it's still dealing in deceptive reality. And then there's an ultimate form of that wish, which is the direct perception emptiness. Okay? So, Pabonkur Bache is glossing the deceptive in the verse by Chandrakirti and saying, one wing is the wish to save all beings. And the other wing is the understanding of emptiness that would allow that. Okay? All right. So the kunzab the dunami chanju sem ni dan sokni. You can also explain it as the collection of virtue and merit. But that's a merit and wisdom. Okay? But that's another story. Niki gone gyawe sar drup chepala. De tabi tsu tu gopa soki sung she dan dangundu chu she dodu dan. Then this was, you know, this text is a record of a teaching given over 24 days by Pabonkur Rinpoche. So then he says, Pabonkur Rinpoche went on to explain why we needed to get good teachings on emptiness and meditation, or we wouldn't be able to do it very well. Okay, so you'll never be able to understand emptiness very well. And you won't be able to meditate very well unless you get good, clear teachings on it. Okay? So he talked about that for a while. Then he talked about Mundo, okay? Mundo, which means the preliminary practices, which is the subject of a huge section of this text. And we'll start it in April. Okay? We'll go back to the beginning of the text, and there'll be the best explanation in the lineage of the Dalai Lamas of the preliminary practices. Okay,
Very, very beautiful. Very, very, very beautiful. Okay? And then we'll go back. We'll start at the beginning. Shay Dordo. But anyway, on the 22nd day, he reviewed that a bit. Okay? And then Linda Songwe Sache Nam Sung Te, he reviewed the outline of the topics he had taught so far. And then Shine La Lom Suk It Sok Temba Nga Am Duk. Then he talked about the five, or we can say the six conditions that you need to prepare to meditate, okay, which were Yul Tumba Nepa. What is that? Get a good place to meditate, conducive place to meditate. Dupa Chua. Don't want too many things. Chok Shepa. Enjoy the things you do have. Dunzi Sopor. Try to reduce your stimulation, overstimulation. Then the most important one, Tsutim Namber Dapa. Don't hurt other people. Be kind to other people. Collect good karma, because that karma creates the blips. So I hope you had that class this morning and last night. You had those two classes. One was about the karma you need, the new good karma. One was about the old bad karma you have to get rid of. To reduce the blips from happening in the first place, then you don't have to deal with them with the antidotes. It's a blip that never blipped. Okay? All right? That's what we really want. This number five is the best. And then it was what? What was that? Didn't we do that? Oh, namdo. Duso namdo bon. Get rid of random thoughts like, you know, like, sex on the internet, or I got to get to Dunkin' Donuts in the next 15 minutes. All right. This kind of random desire thought. Okay. Those were the six. But he said, Na'amdu. He said, Na'amdu. He said, five or six. So what are the five? Legne lawa. Easy to find what you need. Food and etc. What we're hoping to supply to the three-year retreatants without a break, parche melam, okay? We're hoping that an uninterrupted supply of healthy food and propane, etc. You should see the estimates. Anyway, that's my problem, right? So anyway, honestly acquired, properly acquired, without harm to other beings. Supplies. And then, a pure place which has been blessed by a holy being. Sa sambo, no dangerous animals, not too cold, not too hot. Trok sambo, who is that? Good friends. Good. And then, neonjoki yoche tsawa. You should have your poster when you go into retreat. You should have your instructions. You should have your instructions all set. The three-year retreatants went in with 7 years of explanation of the practice they're doing. Thousands of hours of teaching on the practice they're supposed to be doing. Okay? So that's what he meant when he said five or six preliminaries, or stuff that you need to start. Then if you will recall, says Pabok Rinpoche, we spoke about the five problems and the eight corrections for them. And then you will recall that by applying the eight antidotes to the five problems, you would pass through nine levels of meditation. He reviewed the six powers. Do you want to do that? You want to go through that? Okay, we'll just go quickly through the six powers. You get to the first level of meditation by the impetus of learning the instructions from your teacher. You get to the second level of meditation by going home and considering those instructions. Reviewing them, right? Will your meditation poster collect dust in the next 6 months? That's why I'm giving you a tube, so at least it's protected. Okay? You get your tubes tomorrow, I think, or something. I'm not sure. They're coming. Sumbada Shipani Temba. Third level and fourth level are attained through the mature power of your capacity to bring your mind back to the object. Narba Dandupani, the fifth and sixth levels are characterized by the full maturation or development of your capacity to catch yourself going off the object. Sheshin. Dumba Dangepani, seventh level and eighth level, are achieved through the power. He said effort, but we said extra effort or the last effort or that final effort it takes to wipe out even subtle dullness and subtle agitation. Okay, going the extra, what do they say in English? You can't tell me. Going the extra mile? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you don't quit when it's almost perfect. You do the little last part you need to, like a paint job in a house. And then you're like, come back on the third day and you do the touch-up work. Guba dive top. And then level 9 is attained through the power of becoming completely familiar with meditation, and it becomes automatic. It goes into automatic. Dobki dupate shipa shipa nar semne gusoso kapsu shipa yin. Okay. Ngapa de la yije shi yotoni. He's gonna review the four states of mind. He kind of said how it feels as you go through the nine. Semne dambo ni dumde jupadan. During the first two levels, you kind of have to really gear up your mind. You have to work really hard to get started. Getting started takes a lot of concentration. You have to really sit down and collect your thoughts. And then you can meditate. But it takes some great effort to pull your mind out of your daily schedule and get it into meditation. Parbhana, the intervening five, which means 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Okay? Levels 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Chechen Jupa, the meditation is flowing, but somebody keeps coughing. I mean, tapping you on the shoulder. Okay? Dullness or agitation keeps tapping you on the shoulder. You got a flow, and then it gets interrupted, which is extremely bad for the sustaining thing, the food thing. As we said, someone to cough during a deep meditation session, or someone to shake you awake after 2 hours of sleep, and if you have trouble going back to sleep, they're very similar as far as the harm done to the sustaining of your body and your mind. Okay? At the eighth level, you're able to continue in your meditation without interruption, but it takes some effort. It still takes a tiny amount of effort. Gupa tsumedur sungi dupa jupa. And at the ninth level, finally, it's spontaneous. It's effortless and spontaneous. Okay. So we now have four. You got everything, right? You got nine levels. You got six powers. You got four states of mind. You got five problems. You got eight antidotes. Okay. Gupatsul Medur Fungi Dupa Chupain. Deyang samne dambodha nipani gkab chingga she che shing tingzin nyung she la le miyongwe chingga ki tingin zin ki bhatu chepa mi che ki tane jori me. This is very cute. He poses us a question. Do you imagine, right? We said it's only the five intervening levels that are interrupted by dullness and agitation, right? They were called the state of mind where you feel you are being interrupted by dullness and agitation, right? He says, do you imagine that your first two levels aren't interrupted by dullness and agitation? Like, duh, you know? You think you're not getting tapped on the shoulder big time in the first level and the second level? What did you think? You know? So then his student says to Pabongka Rinpoche, well, then why didn't they call the first two levels, you know, interrupted? He said, what interrupted? Jogrin Mepa means they don't deserve the name of interrupted. Because there's no flow. Nothing to interrupt. Okay. It's cute. Okay. It's kind of cute. It's not cute. Okay. And the first two levels are also places where you really have to tighten down with your awareness. You know, your alarm state of mind and your capacity to bring the mind back. Gupe kab yinbe deta shaks. Parpa ngay kab chen she dim mi gupe ming kyang tingin zin na nepa rim ki je che song shin chinga ki paru che gin jukpe na che chin jukpa. So the intervening five steps, 3 to 7, was it? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, yeah. You want to look at, this is cool, okay? You want to know your real Buddhist scholar, you have to count things like on your joints and not on your fingers. Okay? Then they know you're really cool. Like His Holiness would go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, anyway. Okay. In the intervening five levels, your capacity for real concentration is gradually increasing. And it is continually attacked by dullness and agitation. Okay? The attack is continuous. The attack on your meditation is continuous. So we call it flow with interruption. Somebody tapping on your shoulder. So junior chibin and chichi chuba. Gebe kap tungi gore nyambu betsu chungse tena chinguki ma chepa tung kyong pe cheme de chupa. Level number 8 is called the state of mind where you feel like you are flowing without interruption, because at the beginning of a meditation session, if you assert just minimal effort, then that's all you need to have a full session of perfect meditation. Okay. So at level 8, still a little bit of effort to get in, but then it's automatic. Then it's on automatic. And you're no longer harassed, you're no longer interrupted at all. At level 9, level 9 is distinguished from 8 in that you don't even have to make that initial effort. Okay? You come down into meditation. I like to say, you know, like you cross your legs and then you get your hands like this, and then you do your chin mudra and then you go like this. And when the wrists hit the knees, you're in. And no effort. You just, actually, the feeling there, I would add another feeling, which is you feel like you're just picking up where you left off the last session, a few hours before or a day before. You feel like you just came back to where you were the day before. It's as if you didn't do anything between the two sessions. Your wrists hit your knees, and you're back in the session you were in yesterday. Okay. Okay, this is where I wanted to get today. We have about 10 minutes here. So what? How do you get to real shamatha from level 9? That's what we're talking about now, okay? And this gets into some very, very deep, interesting questions. I thought that Allison West might like this part. Because it talks about, he brings in prana. He brings in the subtle movements of prana at these levels. So it's very beautiful. Okay. Semne gupa tobne chingu tomo dang tawa tinzen la bemeru yungrin ne tupa chungna an deshine je tumba le mu min. Semne gupa tobne, once you have achieved level 9, chingu tomo dang tawa, you can conduct a meditation session without even subtle forms of dullness and agitation. Beme, and effortlessly, yun ring, for a long duration of time, hours, okay? Sometimes they say 4 hours. I'm not going to say that, okay? I hate it when people come up to me and say, Geshe-la, I'm up to 3 minutes and 57 seconds, you know? And I'm like, forget it. You know, if you have 10 minutes of good meditation, that's okay. Okay, anyway, tobne chingun, even though you may get to that point, shine je tumba le ngumin, it is only an approximation of shamatha and it ain't the real thing. It's not the real thing yet. Okay? It's only close, but no cigar. Okay? How'd you translate that way? Just kidding. She has a hard job. Shine je tumba le ngumin. Mue topala tingzen na layang gom shim jibar chepe. Now, this is of high interest to all of us, right? And this is where we're going the rest of the retreat. So how do I go from 9 to the flying? You know? How can I go from 9 to shamatha? Because that is what we all want to know, right? So here, we're starting that question now. And we won't have much time, but we'll continue tomorrow. You must go back and just keep doing level 9 over and over again, getting to level 9 over and over again until you get really good at it. Okay? So you have to get good at reaching level 9. You know? You have to get good at being at level 9. Okay? Keep going back, keep meditating, keep going up to level 9. Get used to what it's like to be at level 9. Over and over. Okay? Gom shim jipa chepe. Lusam shinjangi dawa gade kepa chen top go. And you will have a thing that we call shinjang. Okay? You will get a thing that we call shinjang. Let me look at something. I was kind of hoping that there was some well-known Sanskrit, but I don't think there is. Pravrdi, Vyati Vrta. Okay, there isn't any. Here it is. Oh, here it is. Prashrabdi. Okay, Prashrabdi. Anyway, that's the Sanskrit, Prashrabdi. Lusem shinjangi gade kepa chen topgo. You must go beyond level 9 and try to add a new component, which is the exceptional pleasure of mental and physical proficiency. Okay? Shinjang. Say shinjang. No, you can't. That was a trick. Shinjang, I don't know, it's been... Shindu Jangba means extremely well trained. But what it refers to is a physical and mental sensation of high pleasure,
okay,
in meditation, from the meditation.
Okay.
So it's your body feels like you're floating on air, and your mind feels like it's, you know, I don't know, it's in your kiss with your first boyfriend. You know what I mean? It's like your mind is high and your body feels like it's floating. Okay, that's Shinjan. There's a mental version and there's a physical version. Okay. But if you want to get from level 9 on, you have to find Shinjan. Okay? You have to reach Shinjan, which is not an unpleasant exercise. Okay. Okay, you'd like to get to a point where your body in meditation feels like it's floating on the air, and your mind feels this deep sense of joy. Okay. There are two kinds of Shinjan. What do you want to call Shinjan? Some people, you could say fluency, or I don't know. Let's just call it Shinjan, okay? It's like Ngar. I'd rather have you have a new word for it, okay? Let's just call it Shinjan. So you know what Shinjan means. Shinjan means physically and mentally high from your meditation. Okay? And you need it if you want to get to 9+. If you want to go to Shamatha from 9, you got to have Shinjan. Okay? Nile, there are two forms of Shinjan. Sem Shinjan, mental and physical. Okay. Now, this is interesting. Fluency in meditation and the body becoming totally used to meditation, of those two, the mental fluency comes first, and then later the physical fluency comes first. So, Shinjan, from the point of view of expertise or fluency or mastery, the mental one comes first. But dewa nile lu shinjangi dewa ngarki wo. But with regard to the two pleasures, the physical one comes first. Okay. So if I ask you, of mental or physical Shinjan, Shinjan meaning where you're absolutely a master of meditation, do you get the physical mastery first or do you get the mental mastery first? And the answer is you get the mental mastery first. But if I ask you, do you feel a bodily sensation of high pleasure or do you feel a mental sensation of high pleasure first? It's the bodily one that comes first. Okay? That's a distinction. Now he's going to get into a subject of what's happening to your prana in a state of Shinjan that makes the bliss come on, bodily and mental. Okay, he's going to start describing what's happening to your prana that makes these two kinds of mastery and these two kinds of high pleasure come on, okay? And that's one of the reasons why in this retreat and with all of our students in this lineage, we're encouraging people to do yoga or something similar. Because when you get to this stage, if you've been working on your prana, if you've been working on your channels, if you've been doing your yoga, especially Niguma or something similar, then this part will come on much easier, okay? Because you're used to working with your channels and you're used to working with your prana. So we're trying to prepare you now, wherever you are, level 1, level 2, level 3, that at level 9, you will already know your inner body and you will be in a position to use the prana, to use the chi, to go from 9 to 9+. Because to get bodily Shinjan and to get mental Shinjan, you're going to have to do some things with the winds, okay? to get that feeling of high pleasure, which is required to see emptiness, you see? The physical and mental feeling of high pleasure and the mastery it implies is necessary to get to shamatha. Okay? From samadhi, from simple samadhi, from a state of deep meditation to a state of meditation which can perceive emptiness, you, between there, what separates them is moving your winds in a proper, in a certain way, and getting to certain high states of pleasure, physical and mental pleasure in your meditation, okay? Which is kind of a fun, you know, subject. Okay, so we'll start that tomorrow. We'll start Xinjiang tomorrow.